Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
What's up, good people? It's your girl, DL Cals, back with another episode. In this episode, we're going to be talking about having too much stuff and how the clutter in our homes can actually affect our mental health and how we live day to day. Peace, love, and hair grease. Win the day because the day is already won. Let's get into it. Let's go.
I gotta win the day. It's today, a great day to be great. No, I can't sit back and wait.
Alright, what's up, babe?
What's happening? What's up?
What's up? Girl. What is this voice? What's happening? What's up? I think I like it. Okay, so mental health check. How you doing?
Okay,
on a scale from 1 to 10.
Today I'm feeling about a 9, just lying. Now I'm feeling about a 7.5 since I've took me a walk and got myself together and I got up not too long ago and just had to come to self.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any particular reason why? It was just kind of one of those things.
Yeah, I just woke up and was just, I don't know, I just felt a little heavy.
Yeah. Woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
No, I didn't.
On the right side, always, period. Okay. Excuse me.
Baby, what are you giving?
Oh, okay,
what you
giving? I'm just giving a 10.
It's good.
It's giving a 10, baby. We're a week late on the podcast, but we're never late, okay?
Mm-mm, never late.
Don't worry about our lateness. Mm. Shout out to Lauren Hill. We get there when we get there.
That part.
So.
And this is also a re-record.
Yeah.
Because we recorded it the other day. And the sound was terrible.
Yeah, it had a terrible, terrible echo. And we've been having some sound issues like the past couple of episodes. And it's just like,
So we're going to hope this cringe. One is better. Hope the voice.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're going to get into it.
Let's get into it. So today's episode is about having too much baggage and what it can mean for your mental and physical health. How your living space can be a reflection of your mental space as well. And so I'm going to read something from a scholarly article that I found by Helena L. Swanson and Joseph R. Ferrari. Okay, so here we go. Previous research found that one phenomenon that impacts an individual's sense of home and subjective well-being tends to be high levels of clutter, which is an overabundance of possessions that create chaotic and disorderly living spaces. Crum and Ferrari also found that clutter partially mediates the relationship between psychological home and subjective well-being. So what is psychological home? What is subjective well-being? Well, psychological home is defined as a sense of belonging in which self-identity is tied to a particular place of refuge that provides security, safety, protection, and privacy from the external world. the development of object attachment and place attachments in the physical environment to support self-identity, and greater psychological subjective well-being. So again, what is subjective well-being? Subjective well-being is composed of three components, including life satisfaction, positive affect, and negative affect, right? So the positive and negative affect is basically the how something is impacting you. So that's basically what that means. So it's not positive and negative affect, it's affect. It's the difference or whatever. So affect is how something is directly impacting you, where the effect is like sound effects, if that makes sense. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's, you know, the gist of that or whatever. Mental health, we use affect a lot because it's talking about how certain things impact our mental health or our bodies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the difference. So yeah, let's break this down with a few examples of clutter and simple questions. So babe, go ahead and give us, you know, some of those examples of how, you know, we can hold on to clutter, what clutter is, or like examples, you know.
Okay, whatever. Like basically, for example, first and foremost, top floor, no clutter.
Shout out to Nip.
Uh-huh. Okay, so okay, I'm loving the reboot. I'm loving,
yes, because it's giving re-record. It's giving
10. Okay, for example, buying and getting new things without getting rid of, donating, or giving away things that you already have or old things, and then or holding on to hurt or pain without communicating how it can be turned into. And it can be turned into like mental health and physical anguish. So like, we really can like expand on that.
Exactly. So like, basically, just the little things like the knickknacks, like actual physical attachments that we have, like with buying things. Sometimes we try to buy things away, like, you know, stuff like that. And sometimes holding on to things, like clutter can also be like emotional clutter, grudges, yeah, things like that. So it's all different types of things, and we're going to basically break down the bigger part that I read at first. We're about to break that down on, you know, just, you know, a basic level,
yeah,
by, you know, asking simple questions and giving y'all our perspective on clutter and how it affects us and just the overall perspective that we have about it.
Okay, and these are things that we lived or living,
period, because we never talk about things that we don't experience. Okay, period. So babe, mm-hmm, why might it be hard for people to let go of things in general?
Attachment. Mm-hmm. Attachment is one of the biggest things that affects us. Like, you can be attached to a person, which is dangerous. You can be attached to belongings, things that you've been having for a long time, gifts, things that people gave you. You can be holding on to something someone said, attachment to something from like being abused when you was younger, mm-hmm, like, because something that can hold on to you for so long. So attachment.
Yes.
To answer your question.
Yes, I like that. I think that's a really big part of it. And honestly, that's like a little bit of my answer too, attachment, because like you just said, we get attached to so many things. Like even, yeah, some of us are even attached to the things that we're addicted to. Yep. Food, like not just drugs, like let's keep drugs and alcohol, like obviously yes, but let's set that aside for now. Mm-hmm. We can be addicted to attention, social media, food,
coffee,
like just literally any, mm-hmm, and everything, right? So sometimes we have an attachment to that, and that attachment is not healthy, and it adds clutter into our life. Even the habits that we build adds clutter to that.
No, seriously, because Even like the gym and stuff like that as well, because I was going to yoga for so long, like every week, but I had to take me a break because like too much of anything can be a problem.
Exactly.
Even though I love yoga and everything, but it's just like I had to take a break. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure why I take the break, but it's like I can feel why I took the break.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense, because also, in order for our self-love and self-care and me time not to become clutter and become a thing that we are in bondage to, mm-hmm, we have to switch it up. Yep. Right. So like every month, it's of paramount importance that we switch up our self-care plan. Like, just don't do the same things every weekend or every day for your self-care plan. Do something different. It might be, like you said, yoga, but after so long, it's like, okay, am I attaching myself in bondage to this where I feel guilty for missing? You know, like, so it's like, switch it up so you don't have to feel that guilt. And then you don't have to hold that clutter in your mind and in your body for certain things, habits.
Exactly. Because it's literally for no reason. And it's so crazy because last night me and Taryn was talking about something. I honestly don't even remember what we were talking about, like the specific thing. But she was like, yeah, because I honestly think it was yoga. Because she was like, all you need is yourself. And I'm just like, yeah, that hit different for you. I needed you to say that right then, because it hit different. Because in a world of worldly things, honestly, all you need is yourself, and all you have is yourself. You only got yourself.
That's it.
So
that's it. Unless you're a twin, you were born in this world by yourself.
Where
and
have alone, you been?
And you'll die alone, regardless of who you came in this world with. 9 times out of 10, it's more likely that you'll die alone. People die in groups too, don't get me wrong. But it's literally yourself. Like,
but even when you die in a group, you still go alone. It's still
you, exactly. You go alone, like everything else is out the window. Yeah. Yep. And that spirit doesn't change. It's just that one thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
T. Okay. So, what was the toughest thing for you to let go of?
Okay. So, the toughest thing for me to let go of was when I was growing up, my dad wasn't physically there, or really he wasn't present at all for like a gap in my life, like between like 4 to like 5 years old, all the way to like the summer before my before sixth grade. So with that, I just wanted my dad, right? So summer happens, I see him. He calls my nanny's house number, my nanny and papa's house number, which hasn't changed all these years. He just remembered it one day and called randomly, right? So boom, I see him. I meet my little brother Monster. We kick it off. Boom, boom, everything is good. But he has to go back to Atlanta, right? So he was been out of state this whole time. Well, as I grew up, I became 18, 19. At that point, I am looking for my dad to be more physically present, and I was needing help moving in and out of college. He did, I think he brought me home or moved me in for my freshman year of college. I don't know, but I ended up transferring. Long story short, I got to the age where I had some questions for him. I got my mom aside. My mama never bad-mouthed my daddy in front of me or anything like that. So that's why me and him are so tight today, because she never talked down on him. Shout out to my mama. But the toughest thing for me to let go is the fact that I didn't have my dad for prom, homecoming, special moments. He's never seen me play a game of basketball. He's never really, I didn't have that relationship with my dad to where I have pictures with my dad growing up. That's non-existent, you know? So I got to a point where I needed questions like, how come you weren't here? How come I couldn't go out there for summers? How come, like, what's up? Why? And we ended up getting into it. Well, I got into it with him. I like cussed at him a couple of times, cussed him out, whatever. I yelled at him. I threw my phone. Like, this was like 2 different occasions. And then he hit me up. He was like, baby, we need to sit down and have a talk. And when we sat down and had a talk,
at Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
He came to me as a man. And at that point, that's just kind of, I realized what a man actually was. Because it's one thing to leave your children, whether they're in a good situation or bad situation. It's one thing to leave your child, but it's a completely different thing to actually come back and face what you left.
That part.
Yeah. So once I realized that, my perspective changed, and I literally at that moment let go of all the hurt, the pain, the tears. I cried a little bit. At the end, we hugged, you know, and he just left me with, hey, baby, I know I wasn't there, but we can't harp on the past for too long because we can't get time back. We can only start from now and move forward. And it's just like the light bulb went off. And I just really appreciate and respect the fact that he allowed me to have that moment. But then it's like after he taught me how to better handle my emotions, it's cool to feel this way. But you don't show that emotion like that. You have to basically, he taught me how to be emotionally mature versus emotionally immature, stuck at that 5-year-old, 4-year-old kid, 6th grade kid, 16-year-old kid who didn't have their dad, who wanted their dad to be physically present and not just in the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, some summers I don't get to see you. So that was most definitely the toughest thing that I had to let go of. And after that, like, I don't know, that's just a big major point in my life, milestone, benchmark in my life where everything else just made sense. And from then on, that's why we so tight now. Like, a lot of people don't even know that I would even come at my pops like that. Like, people just think that we're just like, you know, oh, Diddy, oh, pops. Like, nah, we done been through some stuff. So, yeah, that's for sure that.
Glad that you overcame that. I'm glad that you let go of that.
Yes, yes.
Okay, for me, the toughest thing for me to let go of was the mindset of that's just how I am. Yeah, because it's like, it was like I wasn't trying to hear advice. And it's like more deeper than I just wasn't trying to hear advice. It was just like, I felt like can't nobody tell me nothing because that's just how I am and it really didn't matter. But then again, that's just like, I was basically felt like people was after me, but I was honestly just after myself in ways that it started to show up.
Yeah, it's like after yourself, but running from yourself at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like when I'm thinking that someone, everybody is after me, or and not in a sense of everybody I meet just after me. I just felt like, I don't know. I just didn't.
You weren't receiving like what people,
like
constructive criticism, so to speak.
That part, because I just felt like you can't tell me that.
Yeah. Where do you think that came from? Like, where did that build up or like?
Where I don't know. Yeah. I just think just growing up, just shutting everything down, like.
Is there a reason why you shut everything down? I'm in therapist. Like, it's gotta make me get in therapist mode.
Definitely. You're definitely getting in therapist mode.
It just happens sometimes, guys.
I don't know. I can't even think that far right now, but.
Respectfully. Yeah.
But yeah, letting go of that's just how I am. And like that let me, after so long, it's just like I had to let my guard down or I was going to miss on the actual opportunities and the openness and the abundance that was waiting for me, that was trying to get to me, but I wasn't allowing it to get through. So yeah, I stopped bottling my emotions. I let my guard down and 100% I can say I love it here. It feels amazing. I cry when I want to. You know, I just let certain stuff out. And it allows me to kind of easily, but not just so easy, have hard conversations and come to myself and actually look at myself and actually feel the need and the want to get better daily. So, yeah.
That's what I had to let go of. That sounds like it brought on a whole lot of emotional clutter, like mind, mental clutter.
Yeah.
Like there's a block, stop sign, and you just have to kind of like tear that down.
Definitely.
I love that. I love that for you.
Yeah, feels good here.
Yes. So when do you know you had something for too long?
Oh. When it starts to wear and tear on you. And that's people, Because people start, you start to wonder, oh, why am I putting in so much and they not, it's not being reciprocated and all of that. When you start to, it's like expectation. Like when your expectation of something becomes way more than
what it can give.
Yes. That's when you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just like what people.
That's like with anything for real. Mm-hmm. And with objects and stuff. You can get rid of gifts. You can get rid of gifts. Gifts is not the biggest thing in the world. Because gifts can start to wear and tear on you. And I don't want to get all deep or like get chatting. But like at the end of the day, certain gifts and certain stuff and certain people having it for so long, it becomes a spell. It's a spell. A gift is a spell anyway.
It's a ritual.
Within itself.
It's an exchange.
Yeah, so like once you start having something, you get to looking at something and like, oh, I don't even want that no more. But then again, it's just like, but so-and-so gave me that. They might come over here and they might see that I don't have it no more. And they gonna ask, well, baby, let them know I had to give it to somebody else. Or I donated it or something like that. I just, you know, just.
Yeah.
Getting rid of comes with a lot of honesty.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So.
And then you just have to let it go. But to speak on. Further, when do you know you've had something for too long? I would say basically the same thing that you said. It starts eating away at you. But I also want to piggyback on your point about the gift, like giving or whatever. A gift to you can very easily be a gift to someone else, depending on what it is. But also, when it comes to keeping a gift, think about how the relationship has changed. Right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yep. So there could be a piece of them that's hanging on to you. You may not even talk to them anymore or don't even realize that this thing is attached to this person. Also think about people's intentions, because at the end of the day, repeating this, gift giving is a ritual, right? And it should be a positive thing. And when things start to be purposeless, it becomes a burden. You know, and also when you know you've had something for too long, just like I said earlier about the positive and negative affect. If you feel some type of heaviness or a burden or a negative affect or impact, so to speak, from it, that's how you know you've had it for too long. Once you can feel the clutter, that's how you know. Sometimes we don't realize we're in clutter until the clutter is up to our eyes, you know, versus sometimes people feel it at their feet. Some people don't feel it up until they almost can't see anymore. So it's just really different for other people. It's very subjective. Like what's my answers could be different from yours, and yours can be different from Shay's. But yeah, that's what I feel about how we know that we've had it for too long.
Mm-hmm. And certain clutter and certain things could bring on emotions and stuff. You don't understand where it came from. Mm-hmm. You could be angry, but you're living in chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You could be depressed and don't know that you're depressed.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yep.
All right. So how do you know when something is of value and worth keeping around?
So when it comes to, I'm going to go objects first and then people. Because when it comes to objects, like there are certain like collectible items and things like that. But the thing is, do you have the space to collect right now?
That part.
Without it being actual clutter. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have the space to collect, you're going to have to hold off on that. Like you can collect on different types of things, knickknacks, whatever. Some people have rooms just for their video games, action figures, books, whatever, a bookshelf for their books and stuff like that. Like right now, I'm not buying any more books until I have an actual bookshelf to start my actual library, because I have a lot of books. They're in bags, they're in corners, like whatever, you know, good things to have in corners, but I want it to be put up the proper way. Yeah. I'm not gonna get any more Lego sets until I have the things to display them on.
Yeah, because I like, ain't getting no more.
I know. And that is my love language. Like receiving those type of gifts is very, very, very strong love language of mine. But there are certain things that you can collect, but if you don't have the space, you have to stop And because it then becomes of no value to you. Like, if I don't have the space to store it how it needs to be stored, then, or displayed, not stored, but displayed, then it's holding no value when it's clutter.
Exactly.
What purpose is it serving me by being here? Mm-hmm. It's not serving its purpose. And when it comes to people, you know, when you have someone good, when things are reciprocated, and not necessarily reciprocated in the exact way, like, for instance, love languages. Like, I may show love and show up in your life differently than the way that you show up in mine, but we reciprocate showing up for each other. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't be the same thing for everyone. Like, even my best friends, like, who I am to my best friends, a part of that, they are also to me, but who they are to me is very different than who I am to them, because we're different people, different personalities. So it adds balance to the relationship. It's, you know, there's reciprocity there.
Yep.
It's those relationships and those people that add imbalance to your life, where you have to feel like you're forcing yourself onto them. You're forcing yourself into their kids' lives. You always have to beg and ask and do this when, you know, at one point, you were super present because you were informed, and all of a sudden it disappears. It dissipates. Like, what is that about? That's how you know, okay, this person really isn't of value. I'm going to step back and, you know, not force myself. And you have to mourn that a little bit too, because that also becomes clutter when it's just kind of like a hard cutoff. It becomes clutter if you don't mourn that relationship, mourn those things, mourn those people, mourn those objects that may not have to get rid of it because it's not serving its proper purpose, and this relationship isn't on display the way that it should be, nor are these objects that I have.
Yep. And it's all okay.
Yep.
It's literally all okay. Yeah. Mm. Now, well,
been going to a price break.
Hey, that's what it feel like. I'm over here popping my bag because,
So what do you feel about that, babe? Like,
I'm right with you.
You're right. Okay, you're right.
Right with you.
We on it. Okay.
You definitely know when it's people, when objects ain't adding value. Y'all know what adding value, antiques and things and certain things that's worth keeping. And sometimes shoes and stuff can be cluttered, but sometimes them shoes be adding value, bags be adding value. So it's just like, you know. And within, like, people, you sure know. I'm going to say that. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all and press y'all hearts, because y'all know. Them folks that don't make you feel good, those folks that don't like, show up for you in a way that's how they show up. They know, you know how people show up. You know their character and you know their hearts. So if they're not showing up in the way that they should show up, you're going to feel that you're going to always think it's they out to get you. It's something wrong with them. It's something wrong with them. And possibly it could be. And it's something wrong. It's something within all of us. But you know, if they're not making you feel good, if it's not teeing no more.
Yeah. And some people listening right now could be like, well, I never know. It always, like, oh my, it always surprises me. Or I just, like, oh my goodness. That's because, just being very blunt, you're being oblivious. You're ignoring your moral compass. You're ignoring your intuition. Mm-hmm. We all have it.
Yep.
Stop ignoring it and stop making yourself so busy with feelings and emotions and actions that you don't see how people, or feel how people are treating you, or how they're adding value or taking value away from you. Like, are they pouring into your cup as much as you're pouring into theirs?
Or is your cup empty?
Right? Are you running dry because you keep on pouring? Like, if all these people you pouring into, eventually they should be pouring back into you.
Exactly.
They should be kind of helping you. That's how you have to weed your garden, so to speak. Because if you don't weed your garden, guess what? It becomes cluttered with things that have no purpose. And yeah, that's really just, yeah, that sums that up, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how can changing your lifestyle and habits help with releasing physical and mental clutter?
I can speak from experience, because as I'm about to be 30, as I'm just becoming more of and actually getting into my adulthood and actually finding myself and things like that, I'm changing my lifestyle. Like, you know, certain stuff I've been doing, but as far, I'm like getting way more intentional with everything that I do. So it's like, I'm not just out here playing. I'm always have my fun and things like that, but I'm not playing. I'm actually taking my life more serious because not of more so of the worldly things, but as I learn me and stuff, it's easier to let go of certain stuff or get, like I said earlier, breaking, letting my guard down and actually shedding emotions and things. It's easier for me to release and get rid of mental things because, okay, I'm knowing myself and it's just like, this isn't what I want. Ask myself today, how can I make myself happy? And get rid of something or do something more, you know? So it's like, if that made sense, I know that was kind of all over the place, but once you like start getting serious about certain things and like actually want to change and not just like diet or something like that, no, full-blown lifestyle changes, mm-hmm. mind, body, and soul, mm-hmm. it'll be easier for you to let go of certain things that don't mean you no good because you trust in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that perspective because at the end of the day, we actually live on the inside out and not the outside in. Yeah. However, our outside world can affect what we continue to project out. So if there's more clutter around us, more things that we don't need, trash, dirt, whatever the case may be, when it comes to people or objects, like, I mean, speaking of dirt, when you see some dirt on your floor, aren't you going to vacuum or sweep it up? So don't have, you know, some people won't, but whatever, that's them, dirty.
They just brush it in it as clutter.
Yeah. So it's like, you're going to want to do that same thing in your life, because if you don't, you're going to start consuming. We're like sponges. We consume our surroundings.
Yeah.
But if we don't have a filter inside to where we project and we tell ourselves these positive things, we're going to keep projecting negatively. And again, that's that negative affect. That affect of the materials and the people around us is going to make us consume it and also regurgitate it, meaning we're just going to be around more clutter. Because again, we live on the inside out, not the outside in. So if we tell ourselves and try this, tell yourself every day for the next 30 days, everything I need comes to me with ease. Just mm-hmm. that, and watch and see how your life changes. You will start feeling the impact of all the things around you, objects and people. You will start feeling the impact of that affirmation on your mental health, because at the end of the day, you're programming your brain to see the things that are coming to you easily and how things actually are coming to you easily. If you talk about how hard everything is, guess what? Your mind is always going to point out how things are hard. If you tell yourself, man, I just need this, your mind is going to make you point out everything that you think that you need. When at the end of the day, we need oxygen and water.
Yep.
Right? We need, you know, some clothes, some cover up, you know, things like that. But we don't necessarily need objects. We like objects. We like people. We like things.
Yep.
We want them, but we don't necessarily need it. So tell yourself for the next 30 days, everything I need comes to me with ease. It's going to be the 30-day challenge of this episode or whatever. And we're going to hop back in next episode saying what has come to us in the next 30 days.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be cool. Everything I need come to me with ease.
Yes, just that. And things will start dropping out that you don't need too. So don't be surprised.
Hello.
Don't be surprised.
Because in order to receive, you must let go. Sacrifices,
mm-hmm.
self-sacrifices. Yeah. Yep. That's that. Moving along. Why or how is your surroundings a reflection of your mental health? Mm-hmm. We kind of just went over that. But
to basically say it in a different way, just to get like literally more specific on mental health, because we've talked about having the things looking from the inside out, so on and so on, whatever. But let's just talk about depression really quick, right? Losing loved ones, anxiety, and different things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, if we look up, if we realize that we're in a funk, we've been having more anxiety fits than usual. We've been kind of like down and depressed more than usual. Our mood keeps going up and down. Maybe we have bipolar, like whatever the case may be. If you look around your home and see the different things that you have sitting around, what's adding value, what's not, then it'll probably be a reflection of your mental health as well. I feel like your mental health, it can be, I'm not going to say can't. I'll say it's hard for your brain, your mental, your thinking, your mind to be clear of baggage when there's baggage physically around you. A lot of times our surroundings, and what we surround ourselves with, whether it's music, movies, any type of media, people, mm-hmm. words, positive or negative, whatever that is, it's going to have a positive or negative effect on our mental health, right? And I think a lot of times we kind of forget that, like, we live through life so much and go so fast that we forget that while I haven't listened to any grounding music, all I listen to is trap, seductive, sexual,
mm-hmm.
harsh things.
Yep.
And the people in my life could also only be telling me that. I may be raised in such an environment to where this is comfortable for me. And that has a natural effect on the mental that we were raised with. So now as adults, we're just, you know, kind of out here doing what we used to, receiving what we're used to, right? So, and we also surround ourselves with the people. It may be toxic, but we still surround ourselves with that because it's comfortable. And mm-hmm. we're not comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that discomfort comes from clearing out the weeds, weeding your garden. So I think that's really how our surroundings are a reflection of our mental health, because again, like, you are what you eat. That's a fact. It's physics. It's science. If you eat,
it's Shay.
Yes. If you eat it's Shay, you are it's Shay. Okay. If you surround yourself with it's Shay, you are it's Shay. If you listen to it's Shay, you are it's Shay. So, yeah. And that's kind of like a broken down kind of mental health aspect of it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. So, a fun fact about clutter and things like that, also still from the scholarly article from Swanson and Ferrari. Research on clutter found that excessive items impact many other aspects of individuals' lives, including employee burnout or tension, insatisfaction with one's job, indecision, decisional procrastination, and behavioral procrastination, need for cognition, and the psychological home, right? So that's the fun fact. And the psychological home, again, is your sense of belonging in which your self-identity is tied to an object or a thing and stuff like that. So when it comes to like burnout and like thinking about clutter and burnout, like if you come from a job, like let's just say you're a teacher, you're a therapist, any job actually, you know, because if you're working, like you're doing the job, boom, but you have to come home to a house full of clutter. You don't get to come home and naturally digest the way that you should.
Dun, dun, dun.
So before you go, like when you wake up in the morning to the clutter and then you go to work, you still haven't digested from the day before. So you're walking around with all this clutter, and before you know it, you're tired of doing this job because your home is filled with clutter. Because your home is filled with clutter, your mental health is filled with clutter because your social circle is filled with clutter. Because your social circle is filled with clutter, your mind is filled with clutter, your work becomes baggage, and now you have burnt out. So, and then also you're indecisive. What do I want to do? What do I want to keep this? Do I not? Am I going to let it go? Am I not? So yeah, that's the fun fact for this episode. And I thought that was a really cool fact. I'm like, oh, wow. The burnout thing, like, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
All right. So, let's get into what we call this segment.
I think we call it phase of the month, best of the month, something, whatever of the month.
That of the month. That stuff of the month. Okay. You going to get into it? You want me to get into it?
Get into it.
Okay, so
share,
like,
some details, but not too much, not like how last time,
you know? Okay, so media, book, podcast, show, movie, either or. Okay, so I'm gonna do shows. So Before We Die on Tubi, it's real good. It's like a UK series. I ain't gonna give you too much, but it's like a just watch it.
Is it
check
drama,
it out,
thriller, psychological,
thriller, drama type of suspense. Okay. It's good. Okay. It's good. Okay, I don't know about suspense, y'all, but and then Your Honor on Netflix. Mm-hmm. We only on episode 2.5, but
no, 3.5.
Three?
Yes.
I thought I fell asleep on
three.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. That would be 2.5.
That's 2.5.
I should have.
She in my business. But drink. Pro T, of course.
Period.
Link in her bio.
Period.
Song, Make It to the Morning by Party Next Door.
Mm-hmm.
And then, since I had said top floor, draw chorus, no stutter.
Mm-hmm.
Top floor, no clutter. Real Big by Nip and Marsha Ambrosia. And Bag Lady by Erykah Badu and Queen Key. I had to kind of run it down. Okay, what else we got? Food,
drink, affirmation.
Okay. Food, we gonna do these pineapple coconut muffins that I had got from Aldi. Y'all ate down. Like, they were so good. They were like the mini muffins, so that, like, you just eat them in like 2 bites.
For I don't real. Think they lasted for a week.
They didn't. They only last 4 days. But that's my business.
Yeah.
Okay, and so a while ago for my affirmation, my girlfriend made me, well, D, of course, my girlfriend, she made me a jar full of vitamins with handwritten notes in them. Yeah, something that y'all probably don't know about.
February.
Yes, and I still have some to pull daily.
It's June 14th.
Wow.
I give it to you on Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. It was meant for us to re-record today.
Yeah. But so my vitamin today, and they're so cute. I might have her put them like on the Day Is One story or whatever so y'all can see. But I pulled one today and I'm actually opening it right now live. And it says, "You are not your biggest mistake."
Oh, that is a good one.
I'm going to say it again. You are not your biggest mistake.
Yes.
And it's crazy because how I kind of spoke on what I let go of. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. You can go because I'm about to cry.
Oh. And I guess the food is the word.
I already said my food, though. In my business again.
Ooh, eating me up. She's eating your girl up. I'll let you cry. Let me get into my stuff. Okay, so damn. Ooh, we daily, but I'm gonna start with affirmation first. To kind of piggyback on that, I want to extend that.
Mm-hmm.
You are not your biggest mistake. or your biggest trauma. Yeah, you're not your biggest mistake or your biggest trauma. Because a lot of times we carry the things that have happened to us. Like really traumatic things, you know, right? We carry that and blame ourselves for it. And we define ourselves and make our life based off of this traumatic thing that happened. So you're not your biggest mistake or your biggest trauma.
Yep.
So that's the affirmation with that. The food, again, I've said it probably all month. Before this month ends, I have to get some ramen at least twice.
Same.
Like, come on. Yep. We have three different places.
We gotta go.
Wagamama for sure.
Oh, wait.
I can't think of the other one, but it's by
Oni. Oni. Oina. The Maybe. One we had went to in the rain?
Yep.
Yeah.
And, that's it. There's one in Deep Ellum. There's one by the Mavericks stadium. And then there's Wagamama. There's three different ones. All of them good. They all taste different. All of them good. So, yeah, two of the three will be hit up before the month ends. My song is Let It Flow by Toni Braxton. You have to let it go. Just let go. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let me tell you, Toni ate up on that song. That's my song. Drink, I'm going to go ahead and say Pro T. You can never go wrong with Pro T.
Sure,
it helps with all your needs. It really does. It really, really does. I'm not even trying to be biased, but it really does. And
I am pretty biased about it.
My media of the month. I just started watching on Netflix Del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities. If you're into like the American Horror Story type of like dark, twisted sci-fi stories and stuff like that, you're going to love this. I love work by Del Toro, period. In general, like, it's just very twisted. I love twisted. The creative in me just love stuff like that. So yeah,
you got me twisted. Cause I'm falling in love.
Okay. The book, I'm still working on my own stuff, my own poetry,
period,
and things like that. Still recording the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's that on that. Those are my things of the month.
Mm-hmm.
My bests, my tops, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Taryn, don't come for me. Yes, you put me on Party Next Door because I know if this is going on YouTube or whatever, you're going to comment. So,
and still comment.
You put me on Party Next Door. So shout out to you, my boo.
Mm-hmm. And,
wait.
What else? Dang, I lost it. I forgot.
Find it.
Brain fart.
Okay.
Aww. Aww. Well, anyways, while you're listening, make sure you follow on all social platforms.
Oh, mental.
Yep. That's coming. Now you're in my business. Now you're in my business. I love a good opportunity for a bite back. And there it is. So... Okay, so while you're listening, make sure you follow The Day Is One on Instagram and DL Cows on Instagram. I'm going to be doing a giveaway on Instagram on my personal page for me getting to my first 1K followers. It's been forever, but it is what it is. Okay.
It is what it
is. I will appreciate it. My first 1K followers, I'm going to do like a raffle, random pick of all of my followers and give a giveaway of a sweatsuit and some tea. So yeah, it's gonna be a pretty big giveaway. You gotta follow both pages and things like that. You'll see a post about it. Also, there's a new look to my to the reels that I'm posting now, to the quotes I'm posting. Got a new, you know, square logo. So we're really freshening some things up on The Day Is One.
Open.
And yeah, we're just making it more fresh. Instead of the same thing every day, it's going to look different, but giving you that same value, that same mental health, that same motivation, that same good stuff, good loving.
Mm. Okay. And you see how that correlates with the episode?
Yes.
You're switching it up.
Because the day is one will never be clutter.
Ever.
Ever. Once I start feeling like, this is not, I'm going to change it. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, we're freshening some things up, new things coming, switching up some stuff. And yeah,
quality.
We doing what we do.
Quality, baby. Quality.
Quality over quantity.
Yes.
Period.
Oh, I love this episode.
Me too. I'm so glad we re-recorded because that first episode was trash can punch. Sorry, not sorry. That's what it is. That's what it was.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't giving.
Super
giving.
Excited to see my nephew today. For the whole weekend. He's going to get on my nerves by Sunday, but we love each other. I'm going to get on his nerves, too.
He's staying over?
All weekend.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. His parents are going off to Oklahoma at the cabins.
Mm-hmm.
Mm,
okay.
Ain't he baby?
Let's get to the mental health check.
That's your part.
Oh. Well, mental Business. Health check, I'm giving a 9. Mm-hmm. I'm giving a 9. That's I started good. Off at a 7. I'm giving a 9.
That's good. That's mm-hmm. good. That's good. And I'm giving a 10 still. Feeling good. Looking good. Hey, good episode. Good things. That's what's up. So that's it. That's all. Peace, love, and hair grease. Win the day because the day is for sure already won.
Pieces.
Peace.
Know what it take to be great. Apply the pressure, they gon' start off by winning the day. Winning the day, huh? I'm winning the day, huh? Yeah, I'm winning the day. I'm winning the day. I'm winning the day. Huh? Yeah, I'm winning the day. I'm winning the day. I'm winning the day. I'm winning the day. I'm winning the day.